Orgasmic Carmatic, Ben Yu, and Female Satan, The Fallen.
Welcome to the news. This is Orgasmic Traumatic. I have Female Satan and Betty Doom with me. How are you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing wonderfully.
Don't be so silent like that. That drives me crazy. I always think you guys stop. So today is, I want to say before we start the show, I want to say happy birthday to Canada. From your downstairs neighbors. Happy for you to have your bullshit pseudo Independence Day without having to have an Independence Day 3 days before America's Independence Day.
I don't know if I can really endorse this. Like, Canada has an Independence Day. Does they still have the Queen on their money?
Hey, we had the president on ours. So, I mean, you know, just throwing that one out there. I actually didn't even know it was, like, Canada's birthday until I hopped on Facebook and my friendship with Billy Talent, the band up there, is like, happy Canadian Day or whatever. I'm like, awesome. Let's everyone throw Canadian quarter. Anyone in America, throw a Canadian quarter in a sewer drain and just say, like, hoorah, you know, tons of Canadian dimes just lying around.
Is that the traditional practice? You throw a quarter in a sewer drain to celebrate? Never mind. Is that because it has the Queen on it?
You know, I'm not sure. All I know is it feels like fake plastic money. Like, I don't know. But that from now on, I'm just letting every American that's listening to this know that July 1st of every year, you take all of your Canadian quarters and you throw them in a sewer drain and say, hoorah, and that will be our American celebration. You guys do not need fireworks, all right? No fireworks for Canada. Just saying.
Are fireworks banned in Canada? Because if I decriminalize marijuana, I might actually criminalize fireworks, even though it would take a very lot for me to... Never mind.
I don't think they're illegal in Canada. I just say that, you know, fireworks are our celebrational tool for our Independence Day, so they can't have that. We don't want...
I don't understand
who gets the fireworks, who gets to play with it.
See, that's weird, because I would say that since that's the way we celebrate our independence, it's probably the best way to celebrate your independence, and so I would encourage all nations to do so.
Well,
with
I'm
fireworks.
A selfish bastard, so like, the sooner you get to know that, the better. My fireworks. Indiana is the place to get fireworks, and that's in America. You don't see anybody typing on their Facebook, I'm going to hop up to Vancouver or up to Ontario and get me some badass fireworks. No, they do that for weed.
I swear to God, they do it on Bastille Day, is the thing. I think you're wrong.
I'm wrong? Facebook doesn't lie, and neither does Billy Talent, okay? So.
No, Facebook never lies. Not ever.
It's on the internet. I will look up it. Wait, no, I won't, because if I put anything on the studio will crash, because that's why it crashed the first time. So I had Synup. Thank you, SatanicInternationalNetwork.com. You made my studio crash. Hey, it's true. Every single time I use this, and they did officially get rid of the switchboard. So, you know, if I drop, I drop, and y'all are screwed. So I hope you can talk your way out of the paper bag.
Oh, yeah, humans are monsters.
Yes. Humans are monsters. This was the very first requested show by a Sin user, or user in general. We have, like, 7 shows lined up that are actually requests that we're going to blend into the topics that we have lined up and already set up. So I'm fairly certain that, you know, things are going to get kind of interesting. You know, I know, Female Satan, you've been going to, you know, your little places. I've been talking to the people over at Infinity Network. And, Betty, I'm not sure where you go, but...
Oh, that's just as well.
We'll keep that a secret. Some of us have to have secrets, right?
Of course.
All right. Well, I know you guys are really excited to talk about this thread that manifested a little bit ago called Humans Are Monsters, and it was a response thread from a different website.
Yeah.
And since it was Female Satan's thread, I'm going to pass the little stick, the talking stick, to you so you can ease us into this topic and I can stop blaming Canada for everything that's wrong in America.
Okay, I was on a New Age site and I was arguing with somebody about the fact that good and evil don't truly exist. The person had written something that was, I still don't understand how somebody could actually write this. All of humanity is inherently good, and when Lucifer Isis returns, we will return to our nature of pure goodness and love. It's nature's true fate. So I responded, and I can read it off if that way people have a, you know, context of what we're talking about. And I wrote, okay, simply put, you're wrong if you think humanity is inherently good. How could you even draw that conclusion from any school of thought? Have you read a history book? Humans are monsters, just as the gods of old are. After all, our species is the basis for those psychological projections. Humanity has moved to the top of the food chain because of our monstrous nature. Historically, humans will eat each other unless authority tells them not to, for fuck's sake. There is historical evidence that in the area where the Egyptian Empire once stood, the tribes that ran there were cannibalistic until Ptah came along. I'm no expert in Egyptian history, but considering the fact that the man that was the basis for Amon most likely had to conquer those tribes and then say, hey, dumbass, let's quit eating each other, shows me just how bloodthirsty our species truly is. It's only one example. Odin demanded blood and human sacrifice. They had found trees where they hung the prisoners sacrificed to him, not to mention the whole Wicker Man idea, taking a bunch of people, putting them in a huge structure shaped like a man, and then setting it on fire for a religious rite. You can get fucking good if you're going to come at me with that they were criminals bullshit. It doesn't matter. Society creates criminality, establishing laws. Then there is Jehovah. In the Bible, the Old Testament specifically, he asked for animal sacrifice and at times human sacrifice. The story of Aaron always stuck out for me. A good man and God's high priest. There's a story that Aaron gave all of his portions of the spoils of war to orphans because God forgot about them. This same guy is toasted by God to show the people that they need to listen to what he says. Did Aaron deserve it? Hell no. He's a good man. Jehovah's total death rate biblically is anywhere from 25 million to 3 billion. From a biblical perspective, humans are made in God's image. Look at the God and then really look around you. You may as well be a vampire feasting on everyone's lifeblood around you. Our society is built on the blood of the Native Americans, on humanity's fundamental need and want to conquer, to crush others that are less than them. The atomic bomb could literally destroy all life on Earth. It's humanity's creation. A real-world example is my sister's son. She went to the bathroom and heard her youngest son screaming hysterically, came in the living room, and her 2-year-old was beating the 6-month-old on the head with a jack-in-the-box. Blood was everywhere. The kid broke the baby's nose. Why would a 2-year-old do that? Had he seen somebody do it? No, it was his instinctual nature to destroy what was smaller than him, what he viewed as a threat to his one. Humans war, we enjoy it. Humans kill, we enjoy it. Humans crush those that are less than them, we enjoy it. say that humans are kind and good, fails to take the fundamental need and want to kill others if they count. Have you ever eaten meat? You're a killer then, period. You think that when the New Age manifests, this will change and we'll all join hands and sing Kumbaya? Bullshit. When society goes, this species will be back to eating each other for pleasure, killing for fun, raping women and children in the streets, and in generally being as monstrous as we truly are. Grow the fuck up and quit reading Scott Cunningham. It's a lie. As an occultist, you're supposed to embrace your true nature, not fall to delusion. At least Satanism admits it. ONA uses culling to illustrate this. And Anton LaVey wrote, Satan represents man as just another animal, sometimes better, more often worse than those that walk on all fours, who, because of his divine, spiritual, and intellectual development, has become the most vicious animal of all. So that's the post that, of course, is what we're talking about.
You know, it's interesting because in your post you write that society is actually to blame for, or maybe I'm interpreting this wrong, so by all means, if I am, just let me know, to bringing out more of the innate monster in humans. Plato said the opposite.
I would say that society is probably actually more monstrous than humans are in a lot of ways. And I would also say that I did reference society quite a bit. But society tends to have a very collective mentality, and it tends to actually, in a lot of ways, magnify the more negative characteristics of humans as a species, in my opinion.
Well, when we think of a monster, almost always part and parcel with that is something unsocialized, like a blind beast. And
mm-hmm.
So I think society, the main function of society is to tame, restrain, and temper those things which, you know, I would argue are inherently human, inherently glorious, you know, part of our grand inheritance. Yeah, but I'm a Satanist. Is the thing. Yeah, those monstrous qualities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so to me, the monstrous often represents a kind of wholeness, a rejected wholeness,
mm-hmm.
You know, and that's why it's always portrayed, or not always portrayed, but it's often portrayed a little bit bigger on scale, definitely stronger and ugly.
Yeah, and more dangerous inherently somehow. Yeah, I would agree with you there.
Oh, we have a caller. I'm going to bring the caller up here, but I also, I was doing some research on this because of the fact that, you know, your post seems to only cover the negative aspect, and I understand that's the position that you took via response to that beginning of that thread. But I think that what most people do when they are trying to categorize humans, they either put them in a good spot where they believe everyone starts out good and something forces them to be bad, or they start out bad and vice versa or whatever the case may be. I like to hold on to the platform that everyone starts out balanced. You start out equal. For whatever case it may be, you know, everybody has good and bad. Even the worst person in the world has some kind of balance somewhere. There's some good in them. Six-one-five, you are on the air. Or 619, whichever one it was.
I'm 615.
Okay, well, 619 is having an issue coming on air. Oh, there it is.
Hello, how you guys doing?
Hello.
Hey, ladies, how you doing? Hello. So what's the topic today, monsters?
Yeah, humans are monsters.
Humans are monsters.
Yeah, the intersection of humanity and monstrosity.
Yeah.
I misunderstood. I thought we were talking about, like, Chupacabra and, like, Bigfoot and Sasquatch and shit.
there are parallels that could be drawn. What do you have? I mean,
yeah.
Is there something specific you'd like to contribute?
Yeah. In fact, I do. Thanks for asking, buddy. Yeah, you know, here's the deal with, like, Sasquatch and Bigfoot, right? Like, if they actually existed, we would find their bones. They'd have to reproduce. There'd have to be a decent number of population of them to continue, right? But the fact that we've never found any bones except for some, like, you know, mud, you know, feet impressions in the mud. I mean, what do you guys think about that?
What?
Okay. Well.
Yeah. No, that's a waste of my time. Of course, they would have found bones.
Okay. Well, you know what? Let's just bring that back to topic. I'm not quite sure how to even respond to that, or how that even really relates.
No, but look, we do have lots of images of monsters, okay, from our folklore that kind of exist on the cusp of humanity and what's animalian or demonic. Like, if you look at werewolves or vampires, for instance, like, those are some good examples. And I think part of the mythology and the allure of that comes from a desire to encapsulate this kind of primal side of humanity and put it in relationship to the domesticated, civilized, you know, mentality that comes with socialization. Like, these stories make a lot more sense that way.
Well, it's another interesting thing about that is that when we talk about these, even demons and angels, we do make them in a human form, regardless of whether we've seen them or not, or if we believe they exist or not. The pictorials that we have of them are all human. We picture them like we picture ourselves.
Oh, for sure, for sure. And I think the distinction between angel and a demon is largely political. I mean,
well, in a lot of
cases,
demons started out as angels.
Yeah, yeah, they're the same type of entity, but, you know, they bat for different teams, they have different loyalties, or they have no loyalties, you know.
Okay, I'm inviting him back on the air because I think he just accidentally dropped.
Aw.
So, did you have more to add to the question that you left before you dropped?
I don't actually recall what I was talking about, but I did get dropped. But, you know, based on what I'm listening to, the bits and pieces, the sporadic little pieces here, is, you know, like LeVay even says, not that, you know, he's...
Did we lose him again?
Yeah, we lost him again. I think what I want to stand on here for is, like, what I was trying to introduce into the conversation is the aspect of duality and the balances there. And with a person that seems like they were always bad, you know, it's a balance issue, I think. And we all strive to have some sort of balance. Well, at least a good portion of us strive to have a good balance between what we deem wrong and right, but then you have to go down the path of what exactly is wrong and what is right, and because it is so subjective, it's really hard to pin that down. So for people to say humans are monsters, even that very simple, you know, three-word sentence, you throw that out there, you're going to have people agreeing, most likely the case in certain areas, and you're going to have people who are totally going to disagree with you because they've seen
the other side of
the unbalance. I think people who are always good and you see them in that light and other people see them in that light, there's a negative side to that too. They're also unbalanced. You can't be all good and you can't be all evil. You have to have that balance.
Well, I would say right off the bat that I did not use the term monsters to indicate necessarily good or evil. I actually did it because of the mythological constructs that Betty was referencing, more so than a good or evil thing. I was actually arguing against the existence of it, and it's actually one of the things that surprised me the most about the thread was that I didn't say humans are evil. I said they were monsters, and I would even include that goodness in there because it is very difficult to tell with people if they're actually, like, I always assume people are nice and kind and upfront, not lying to me, et cetera. And I get hurt a lot by that, actually. I get screwed a lot in real life by the fact that I just kind of assume that most people are like me or that they're not out to get me, you know. And I think it's that capability for inherent goodness a lot of times that actually causes a lot of the pain that we experience, and particularly emotional pain, you know, within our lives.
Well, let's remember, most people equate goodness with self-sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very debatable. It's just that in our culture, it's almost never questioned. To be self-sacrificial, to be a martyr, it is to be good, is to be holy.
Well, yeah, and I disagree with that idea, too, simply because to me it's like, I don't know, every act is a selfish act if you boil it down. It was always done for the person that did it. They might pretend that they didn't do it for that reason, but it's never. I mean, you know, there's very, very few things that anybody does that's selfless. I even wrote in the thread, giving to charity. He's giving to charity as an example, and I said people give to charity for the feeling it gives them. And the fact that they like to help people, it's not really a selfless act. It just is interpreted as one and swallowed as one.
Oh, yeah, no, you can say it's a selfless act, but you're either lying about yourself or the self, or you're lying about the act.
Yeah, yeah.
You mean Mother Teresa wasn't good at heart? It wasn't selfless?
I'm not saying she wasn't good at heart. I'm saying she doesn't deserve credit for her natural disposition, because something tells me that she didn't go to bed every night saying, fuck these orphan, whiny-ass, dot-head motherfucking guys.
No, she genuinely loved the orphan. She loved the feeling it gave her. It made her happy, you know? I mean, like, I volunteer with organizations and stuff, and I mean, like, you know, I do charity work. I do on a fairly regular basis, actually, and I don't do it for... I do it for the charity, but normally it's because I want to see that cause be furthered somehow. You know, I want to see that be bigger. And then in addition to it, most of the time, I like the way it makes me feel. It makes me feel good. It makes me happy.
See, female Satan is like the full Monte thing. You've got like 5 kids and marriage and like the whole 9 yards, and you do community, and I don't do any of that shit. I really don't. I think the closest community service I get is making subs. and I do that because I can give you a reason why I don't do community service. It's I feel like some of the people that are involved in those situations, and maybe this is personal things that I see on an everyday basis, they do it by choice. They don't help themselves by choice. And also personal experience, helping people for the most part doesn't tend to get you anywhere. You know, the last person I tried to help ended up stalking me for a year and a half and just driving me absolutely bonkers. So,
well, the thing is, when I do it, though, I'm not looking for anything more than the way I feel when I'm doing it. Is basically what it is. And I'm, all human beings are, I'm a good feeling junkie. I like being happy. I like being in love. You know, I like pleasure, obviously. And it does bring me
bring me pleasure to do these things, like doing the PTA and stuff. It's silly, but yeah, I enjoy the feeling. I enjoy seeing, you know, the fruits of my labor manifest, so to speak.
Yeah, no, I mean, part of looking at, like, just the will to power and, you know, the way people are and what they want as it is, you know, and trying to do so in a non-dualistic way, is it doesn't completely obviate charity. My God, if I had the money, the homeless would at least, like, be well-dressed. You know what I'm saying? And that would be a manifestation of nothing but my selfish inclinations, you know, that I like to create scenes of beauty and power around myself. And surely someone else will like them to be, you know, fat and energetic. Well, probably not, but yay.
Oh, no, I know exactly what you mean. And it's you know, like I said, for me personally, it's, you know, in a way, I think those things are very, very satanic. It's you know, I can create, you know, I mean, Satan is not, I mean, that whole archetype, it's not just a destroying thing, it's also a creating thing. And that is an aspect of creating, in my opinion, you know, is doing those things, is that I'm making something. And it's real, you know, you can see it afterwards.
Well, I can follow that train of thought. Like, seriously, there's just something that stops me from lending whatever creativity I have in my head or any kind of moral support I have for another person, because I look at that person and they have no motivation whatsoever to get started themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Well, it
also gives you a good feeling. At the same time, for me personally, it doesn't give me a good feeling. It makes me look at them and go, you really just can't do anything for yourself, can you?
Well, it also depends on the charity, you know, too, obviously. I mean, like, I do, most of the stuff I do is kid-oriented, like St. Jude's Children's Hospital. They help children with cancer, and, It's a non-profit hospital. The doctors volunteer their time. It's all donations. You know, I volunteer there. I give money to that. You know, like kids are kind of my pet cause, and battered women are my pet cause. Because, you know, if you've ever been in an abusive relationship, it's so difficult to get out. And if they've showed up at the shelter, they take the step, you know. So I don't have much of a problem with, you know, helping gather up used cell phones so they can call 911 if something happens, you know.
Yeah, and like I said, I can agree with that, and that might even be something I'd rally for, but the if something happens should just not happen. And being in a relationship like that, I know it sounds like I'm being, these women, you know, they should know better and it's easy to get out of, because I know it's not an easy situation to get out of. But I do think that women who leave and then continuously go back, they need a swift punt in the ass rather than a cell phone. You know what I mean? After, you know, someone knocks you down a flight of stairs a few times, and you get the balls to leave, you turn around and you go back. I mean, I don't understand how much sympathy that should be shown to somebody who voluntarily put themselves in that situation.
Well, I mean,
in some cases, endless amount of sympathy, because we have to talk about voluntary. Sometimes people's characters change after a pretty solid contract has been enacted, like say a marriage and two kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then something develops, say alcoholism.
Mm-hmm.
Like there are some pretty inextricable traps. I think the two most important things to address are the economic situation, because let's face it, a lot of women stay because it's harder for them to get out and actually be out and say, fuck you, I've got my car, I've got my cable bill, I'm out of here, and I got my kids. That's still harder for women. Another thing is the self-sacrificial impulse.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are
way
too many women that if they're dealing with the brunt of it, and the man's still, say, nice with the kids, or,
you know, a somewhat able father,
Well, see, that to me is really an example of kind of, I don't know, going back to the topic sort of, that is an example of monstrosity, because emotions can really blind humans in general to what reality really is. Because even if dude is good with the kids are still dealing with hearing mommy cry in the bedroom at night. It's still affecting them. Do you see what I'm saying? The self-sacrifice, the self-sacrificial aspect in that, in a way, is false, because the kids are suffering too. Kids know everything that happens, everything. You know, they pick up on everything. So they're seeing it and dealing with it, and, you know, they're going to do the same damn thing when they grow up, if it doesn't change, you know, in a way.
See, that I disagree with.
Mm-hmm.
I disagree with that. And again, I argue again from my personal experience, which has been pointed out as a flaw of mine by a few people. But, you know, I've known people who have been in that situation, and they didn't grow up to be the same way or do things in the same manner. In fact, it prompted them to be the actual opposite of what they grew up with.
Yeah, but that's...
And we dichotomize also... I'm sorry, I got to jump in here and say we dichotomize abusers and victims very much, but it must be pointed out that they oftentimes come from very similar backgrounds.
Mm-hmm, yep.
And that there are lots of factors that may make one person respond to a violent background, that being normalized for them by tolerating it, and some by enacting it. And the impulses may actually be very similar in the motivations, like... nothing but, you know, more stereotype and role playing.
Mhm. Well, yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. It leaves a kind of emotional scar, I think, and you know, you can tell somebody that's dealt with that simply because they operate differently. Like, if they've taken on the victim mentality from their childhood, they'll have a tendency to be quiet, even if they're not in a relationship like that. And the inverse is true, too. They might never hit a person, but they might yell at you, or they might flip back and forth. It's, you know, that's what I meant, was that, you know, it sticks with you. It digs into your mind, and it affects you forever, you know, unless you pull it out, so to speak.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I can agree with that. It definitely skews how you see certain people. I would say that a lot of people just take it in various degrees. I know people who, you know, don't put any emphasis on that whatsoever. It's a part of their past. They've gotten rid of it. And, you know, there are people that are out there that affects them every single day. My mom's a perfect example. I always tell her, stop living in the past. But it's very hard to tell someone to do that when that's how they function. That's exactly how they live their lives, and it's how they've always lived their lives. So to turn around and deprogram themselves from that is very, very hard for them to do. And it's not easily understood by people that have never experienced something like that. So it's very frustrating.
Well, I think it's interesting that we use the word monster very often to talk about people that have just crossed the lines incredibly in terms of the law and social mores, and they've reached a spot of real repugnance and just the impossibility of redemption in our eyes. If you think child molesters, mass murderers, whatever, you know, monster, and that's something that everyone can agree on. And that's interesting to me, and you know, is why I often associate monstrosity with wholeness, is because I think most of us really are capable, like the vast majority of us are capable of truly foul, what we would call inhumane acts, but what I would call distinctly humane acts. Because most of the types of like crime and horrible behavior that we think of as really inhumane is kind of something that only humans do.
Not necessarily what only humans do, but what only humans would consider inhumane. Because,
well, let's say genocide,
animals,
like political genocide. We call that inhumane, but that's like such a you know, almost trademark human activity.
Well, yeah, but I would say too that, quite honestly, I mean, it depends on the extreme that you're talking about. I mean, you know, dropping off moral constructs and stuff, I mean, I think are a large part of Satanism and doing things that would be considered outside of the norm and outside of the law. Would, you know, it's kind of like you have to just drop all that because it doesn't really exist. So I think there's a line in, you know, going into insanity, which is like, you know, being a serial killer or other things like that. And, you know, in a lot of ways, I really do think that the Satanist is a monster for all intents and purposes. You know, they should be pretty much devoid of a lot of what society says that you're supposed to do. I mean, if they're doing it, it should be by their choice, not by programming. You know,
most serial killers are neurologically and emotionally deficient.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so, yeah, I don't think that's a proper archetype for, let's say, the super Satanist or the hyper-devout Satanist.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, I think it depends, though. It's
But a lot of people, yeah, no, a lot of people would feel that way.
Yeah, well, and that was the thing that surprised me the most about the threat is that, like, I'm a fairly nice person, so I was shocked at the reaction that it received, because it was like you can't say that. You said everybody's evil, and it's like, no, I said that basically humans are innately predatory and tend to prey on each other if you really look at them historically. And the point was kind of missed. And the poster I actually like quite a bit, but it was really interesting to have that perspective thrown in, which was like, what are you trying to say? We're inherently good. You know, and I enjoyed that within the thread because that's a common way to look at people, you know, in today's society.
And that conceit, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead. I'm done.
It's weird to me because that conceit that humanity is like inherently good, whatever the hell that means,
mm-hmm.
is not
yep.
native, and it's not like the sole property of silly religious, silly New Age people. One of the most intelligent, one of the most impressive minds that I hear say this all the time is like Richard Dawkins. Sorry, I love the guy. You know, he makes this argument, you know, it's not an argument. It's an argument waiting to be had that humanity is inherently good. The problem I have with that is that if humanity is inherently good, why on earth would they construct all these horrible myths that they
yes.
do spend all your time railing against?
Yeah. No, I...
Like,
I
if we
agree.
Made up God, then we're worse than God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, you got to put it in perspective, you know. God is, for all purposes here in this conversation, God, quote-unquote, is dualistic in nature. He is good and bad. And he's the extreme of both. There's no gray area. It's either white or black. And like I mentioned earlier, a lot of people see God, quote unquote, as inherently bad or a, you know, someone not to be trusted, sees only the bad parts. They point out only the bad things that he does. You know, he told this man to sacrifice his son for him. You know, that's bad. That's wrong.
What do you know? You didn't make people.
Well,
hey,
I made people. People in 2003 and 2006, I made people. Thank you.
Y'all do have kids, of course.
But people, like Christians, believe God is all good and they're God-fearing because of the bad things, but they think he is good because of all of the good things, and they will always point out all of the good things. You know, say what you will about God, but God is balanced. He has just as much as bad as there is good. Just like as Satanists, you will point out that Satan, Christians will point out all the bad things that they think that Satan has done to humanity, and Satanists will point out all the good things, which coincidentally are all the bad things Christians will point out, that help further humans.
Yeah, I think I can do better than that. I can give them some good things that might surprise them, but...
Of course.
Other than that, this secret was actually let out in the book of Job, you know? Like, Satan is a member, or, you know, the Satan, the Hasatan, was a member of the divine court.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and at the end of the story, you see that it's not really God arguing with Satan. It is one non-dual being that dispenses joy and sorrow. And, you know, by the way, Job, that air you're breathing, it's free. It's all you really have a right to, all you're entitled to. You know, so I'm sorry, that's my favorite book of the Bible.
Since I went to a Catholic school until eighth grade, and I was forced to memorize that thing. And if you didn't pass religion, you did not pass that grade. So I know a lot about it. I just have no interest in touching it ever. It's like eating something that tastes really good over and over again, and then you get sick of it.
What else? Me personally, God represents most of the time, and if you look at it, especially the high gods, they tend to represent the society that they're associated with directly. Most of their associations tend to be directly correlative to law or truth, justice, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, within relation. That most of the time will also include war and other things, too, because, you know, civilizations, war, et cetera. And to me, what Satan is a lot of times represents not society or that natural nature that, you know, I truly believe that society at large is kind of trying to turn humanity into prey as opposed to predators, and it's worked. You know, if you drop the average American in the middle of the jungle, they're going to die pretty quick, you know. If
I was about to say trying.
Mm-hmm. What?
Oh, no, I would say that's been effectively accomplished.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I would agree and disagree, because you see the aspects of that predatory nature that kind of bleed out within the media, you know, and, you know, we still have a military. I mean, you know, those guys know what they're doing, you know, for all intents and purposes. So it still exists. It's just that warrior archetype now is pretty much firmly under the thumb most of the time of society, which creates a really interesting dichotomy, especially when you start looking into the other side of that and start realizing, like, you know, they kind of took our teeth out a little bit, you know. They kind of took that nature away from us. And, you know, it raises a lot of questions, which is that I firmly believe that we should all get it back. But not everybody does. And that's, you know, that to me is a lot of topic, which is like, you know, is on topic, is like, do you want everybody around you to, you know, lack, you know, society saying, what do you do? You know, don't do that. You have to do this. It's that a lot of people would actually say no to that pretty quickly, actually. You know, which
well,
is,
look at it this way. Not all of us are as brutal as, you know, say, you know, the present company.
Yeah.
And I don't think it really is the law that keeps us from going out and stealing and raping all the time, because if you look at it, the people who enforce the law are pretty chicken shit, okay? Like, they don't give a damn about enforcing it half as much as the rest of us care about staying out of their way.
Yep.
It's the least funny joke in the world that they're incompetent and ineffectual, but we do their bidding anyway. Joke's on you.
Well, that's why they can get away with being so incompetent. They can get away with being that way. We allow them to be that way. And I hate to use the word we, because it just brings up a whole bunch of, who are you talking about, we? But it's true.
I mentioned
this on a thread over at Sin. I guarantee you, the reason that I don't kill somebody is not because of the establishment. I do not fear the consequences of such an action. You know? But you're right, you know, if we're passing down the road and we pass a cop and I don't want a $65 fucking ticket, I'll buckle my seatbelt in. I'm sorry, that's my fucking money. I don't want to give it to the state.
Well, exactly. And that's the thing that, you know, I doubt that there would be, you know, a lot of en masse insanity if you took away the government tomorrow. I mean, there would probably be some out of fear, you know, and a lot of people would be like, oh, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to take care of myself. But I think that most people would not actually, you know, go out and be like, you know, let's do this, unless it was for survival. And that's the thing that I think that
I would
take into account in general is that when it comes to survival, it's going to be different. You know, at least for me personally, if somebody's trying to kill me, I'm probably going to kill them first. If I can manage, you know.
You wouldn't loot a thing?
Oh, I'd loot. What are you talking about? Yeah, I'd loot, but, you know.
You know, the only way that I could agree with what you said about if, you know, we took their power away from them is if we didn't tell anybody that they didn't have any power. And then people would go about, you know, doing their business like they normally do. But you tell the entire world that there is no structure or enforced government,
mm-hmm.
I would bet my life on it that there would be insane amounts of chaos.
Well, yeah, but that would
crazy
have a lot
amounts.
Well, that would have a lot to do with fear. I also think it would depend on the kind of person you're talking about. Like, yeah, would I do some looting? Probably, you know, like if you take that away, like would I do blank? Yeah, you know, at the end of the day, yeah, I probably would. But at the end of the day, you know, I would also be more focused on surviving and protecting my own, which would be where, and that to me is always where my stuff comes in, is that pretty much all social mores and, you know, societal constructs fell the second that you start putting my children or myself in danger. You know, I do not have the mentality of, well, I can't because of this. You know, if I had to still eat so that my kids would eat, I absolutely would. That's my job, is ultimately to protect them, grow up to be, you know, little, you know, predators themselves, so to speak. But, you know, that's my job. So, you know, when it comes to situations like that, yeah, you know, I would be, you know, actively doing anything I could with really no limitations on, you know, the level of, you know, set up with the story.
Well, we know.
Was, or extreme it was, I would do it, you know, for my kids. Absolutely. You know.
Well,
you guys say things
would
be different.
Chat. I apologize for interrupting you.
No, seriously, what was in chat?
In chat, CKilo11, I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing your name, it's kind of awkward, says, you can never hide your true nature from everyone. What do you ladies think about that? Do you think that's a true statement, or do you think that, you know, there is actually a way to hide your true nature?
I think that by and large we hide our true nature from pretty much everyone, but in a sense, I mean, yeah, it's impossible to hide it from everyone. If you are fake, if you live a completely artificial existence, then you're never going to be able to fool everybody. But I think that the big sell for religious institutions and, you know, for totalitarian governments, for a lot of these things, we may be kind of inoculated, you know, by disposition, is that it really convinces people that they don't actually want what they want, these horrible things that they really want, and they can't bear that. You know, religion allows them a good story. you know, a lot of politics offers them a good story. They're really a good person. These things are aberrations. They're, you know, perversions of their actual nature.
Well, what I would say is that all of us on some level lie to ourselves about who we really are. On my highlight edition of Female Fate, I said that. I said, you know, there's three, it is who you think you are, who other people think you are, and who you really are. Yeah, you know, we never truly know ourselves entirely. That's one of the, in my opinion, that's kind of what the occult is about, is getting to know yourself, truly know yourself, what your limitations are, and, you know, all that mess, because a lot of times we don't know. There's a threat on sin right now. What would you really do? And the question was postulated that basically, you know, this threat stinks because nobody knows what they would do until they're in that situation. You know, you can say this all day long, but you don't know that's what you would do until you're faced with it.
Well, I personally cannot stand behind the statement that you can never hide your true nature from everyone else. I truly believe, and nor am I saying that it's healthy that you should suppress who you really are to everyone. I really do think that there are some people in your life that will know your true nature, maybe even before you even know it yourself. But I do believe that the roles that we play in our everyday life really skews how other people see us, and it affects how they see our true nature. So you can tell me all day long what you think my true nature is, because you don't think that I can hide it from everyone. But one of these days, you might run into me and just realize that how wrong you really were. And I think that the biggest part of it is, like I said previously, it's the roles that we play and what type of mask we wear wherever we're going. My coworkers will never see the side of me that I display maybe when I'm out with Wicked, for example. You know, that confuses what true nature of a certain person really is.
Well, yeah, but I mean, at the same time, like I said, we tend to deny who we are on a large level, and I do agree that it does bleed through, especially if you're in a large level of self-denial. Other people can tell things about you that you really don't know about yourself at all. And, you know, sometimes when you talk to other people, I mean, I've been quite forward to realize, like, you know, no, you're not like that. You're actually like this. And then I stop and think about it, and I'm like, oh, well, yeah, you're kind of right. You know, my husband's a perfect example of that. He'll say, like, you're being bitchy, and I'll be like, no, I'm not. And I stop and think about it, and I'm like, oh, no, I am. Didn't even realize.
Bitchy's a relative term.
Yeah.
I'm guilty of the same thing. Mostly the most thing that I hear the most, you're getting emotional about this. You're getting emotional about this. That drives me nuts. That just drives me nuts. No, I'm not getting emotional about it. I'm talking to you in an even voice. How am I getting emotional about it? It's your
I'm the worst. I will get emotional about it. You have to understand, but that in no way means I'm not also being rational about it. You know what I'm saying? Like, there is nothing harder to argue with than a woman with tears streaming down her face who hasn't lost the thread and is still making it very, very hard on you.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like it. I wouldn't date me. But... But really, I got to say that self-delusion, not knowing who you are and lying and hiding about yourself, is fundamental to the human condition. Like, to me, that's a large part of what enlightenment is. It's really knowing who you are. And I didn't know Female Satan, if you said that was a large part of the occult or if that was pretty much what it was about. Yeah, no, I'd say that's pretty much all it's about.
Yep. Yeah, I agree 100%. But I believe most magic and stuff like that is actually working more on a person psychologically than anything else. You know, it's that, like, we grow up and we go through life and we kind of, like, I always picture it as like an overfull closet.
You see what I'm saying? It's kind of like the subconscious, and you kind of got to throw open that door and sort through all that shit and see, you know, what you're going to keep and what you're going to throw away at the end of the day. You know, and you might be surprised what's in there. You might be like, well, I didn't even know that was there. You know, if you've ever cleaned out a closet that you know, basically haven't opened in a couple of years, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, where you're like, I didn't even know I had those papers. It's the same exact way. Like, you know, I didn't realize that really affected me, but it did. You know, and I think that's what a lot of the occult is about, is like, you know, a kind of psychological cleanup. Because that stuff affects everything that you do without you even realizing that it is.
Well, I think we got to be careful about what we toss out as well, because, I mean, that's where the devil ended up, where he is, largely, as a literary figure. He got tossed out.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. We're talking about monstrosity
and
human nature.
I think what you need to remember, though, is unlike items of clothing or paperwork that we may throw out because we don't think we need it at the moment, you can always take back qualities and traits that you need to use whenever it comes up.
Well, I mean, I think that depends on, you know, quality and traits are different than more like, now, I like Alan Hubbard quite a bit. I don't know if y'all know that. And he talks about engrams, and I kind of like the theory in and of the fact that it made me understand how magic worked, sort of, which was that you have, like, these memories, sort of, that are built up in your head that kind of, like, when something happens, the next time you receive the same stimuli, it's like your brain wants to adjust its reaction according to what happened before. And they can be the littlest thing that, for instance, I had this years ago, but this is an example, was that if somebody ever slammed a cabinet door, I would jump. Like, eek, jump. And I did it for years, and it was because my dad actually got really mad at me one day, and I was standing in the kitchen, and he slammed the cabinet. When he did, a bowl fell out of the cabinet because it came back open. He did it so hard and hit me on the head. So it was just like an automatic reaction. It's like there's a cabinet slamming, so apparently I need to, you know, inherently duck. You know, and
yeah, no, you interface with reality as a pastiche, like a layering of past events. Everybody thinks they're looking at the exact same thing, and we are, but there is a degree to which we're all seeing something different based on that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Is that, like, you know, I think humans as creatures learn very fast. You know, like, you put your hand on the stove, so to speak, and it gets burned, and you learn not to do that again. And some of those are false, because every time the cabinet slams, you're not going to get hit with something, you know. You kind of have a weird psychological disorder almost there, but it happens with everything, you know. And that's really where I think subjective reality comes in a lot of times, is that we all see things according to what's already happened to us, not necessarily what's happening at that moment.
Yeah, no, and we assume that, like, future events are truly driven by past events, like, always, always, always.
Mm-hmm.
They are determined, and I don't know, we're way off topic.
Well, I mean, not necessarily. We are talking about human nature. I know the focus was supposed to be on, you know, monstrosity and whatnot, but with every platform, there's always going to be an opposite, and it's important to examine all of them, all different sides. I'm being poured on.
Well,
on that note, you know, we've got, I think, like 2 minutes. I can't tell because I'm being rained on. So, does anybody have any parting things to say?
Well, I do, actually, which is that I think we stayed on topic because this is all part of that monstrosity that I was referring to begin with, which is that we think that people react to the same thing that we do in the same way that we do, and there's a real failure to understand other people. So we tend sometimes view them as through a skewed lens. We tend to view them as, you know, monsters. We don't understand their reaction to things. or why they would react that way.
And maybe because we're monsters.
Yep.
I'm not so sure about that. I think even if you lack the personal experience, you should, a good strengthening quality is to be able to see and be impartial to your own personal experience and maybe try to understand why that person did what they did. But really, I think push comes to shove, it really depends on how much time you are willing to put into understanding that instead of the automatic reaction of, oh, that was horrible.
Well, yeah, but also at the end of the day, I mean, how much can you truly understand why another person reacts to something the way that they do or why people function the way they do? You know, I mean, I can get pretty close to understanding myself, but other people tend to be a bit of a mystery, you know, and even if I try to put myself in their shoes, it's still through my own personal interpretation, you know, I can never truly be blank, so I can never truly understand.
Like, the other is fundamentally mysterious, and if we don't know ourselves, then how can we expect to know another self that is at an angle to us and doesn't even know themselves?
Yep.
So you know, we always kind of have to approach other people, you know, in a very open-minded way.
But careful.
Well, yes.
Because you just never know who you're fucking with.
Well,
yeah.
And you never know why they yelled at you.
That's nothing to do with you at all. And you're, you know, being, you know, you think you're being targeted or, and I've had that happen before. I thought it had to do with me, but it had nothing to do with me. Like, they weren't even necessarily talking to me. I just thought they were, you know.
I think we've all been in that situation where, I know I have, where I've just flew off the handle because I've heard the ass end of something and it actually had nothing to do with me whatsoever and I end up feeling like an ass.
Yep.
All right, ladies, I think I'm going to end the show before I fry my computer, which would be really bad. Thank you for being on, and thank for everybody who's listening who's probably confused as to why it's 6:02 and the show is still going. So I'll see everyone.
What is it? That's crazy.
It is. It is still running. I actually extended it because of the new insight that was being ingested there at the 3-minute mark.
Yeah.
So I did it as a just in case. Typically, when we start slow and we start the ball rolling or whatever, just be safe to assume if I keep talking past 6 o'clock, it's because I've extended the actual show just to incorporate anything that might get missed if I ended it. But on that
nice,
note,
overtime.
Thanks for everybody to showing up, and we'll see you at Finn. And I will talk to you soon, ladies.